Ephesians chapter 4 is where we are turning this evening. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. The message this evening is entitled, Steps to Permanent Change. Steps to Permanent Change. In a society which says people just can't change, when our own senses, our own feelings say to us, we just can't change. You and I have a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate to the world all around us that we really can change, that there is a way that true change, true transformation can take place. And so this evening I'd like to speak to you about this from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 21. Notice the words, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Father, would you bless this evening your words to us? Would you help us to gain a new appreciation for what is here? Help us to understand these three steps to permanent change. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever we come to a passage of Scripture, it is very important for you and me to begin with, what does the Word of God say about the God of the Word? If you and I could train ourselves that whenever we come to the Scripture, we start immediately looking for the Savior, start looking for the Sovereign, start looking for the suffering servant who is the Sovereign. If we start looking for the Lord in each and every passage, I believe we'll find him. And tonight, I would like to renew your minds and change your thinking a little bit about even the way that this very familiar passage, familiar to us, has been presented at times. For instance, notice what it says in verse 21, and notice, if you will, that last phrase, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Now, on Sunday mornings in our series on Ephesians, we've been talking about this just a little bit, and we have come to understand that all the Lord's great work is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we pointed out that he is not merely the instrument that changes us. He actually is the very sphere of our existence. In other words, to be in Christ is to be within this precious Son of God, to be on the inside, to be inside Christ. What's interesting about what this passage is saying is that the truth, notice it doesn't say a truth, it says the truth is in Jesus. So folks, let's stop to think about this just for a moment. What is the truth? What is the truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you see how that definite article, the, brings it down to a narrowness and, if you will, an exclusiveness that says the truth is in Jesus? Now, here's an interesting way to think. Reality is found in our Redeemer. Here's the way the world thinks. The world says, well, Jesus Christ and the Bible and biblical Christianity, that's just like one of the choices on the smorgasbord of life. They practice a sort of cafeteria religion and therefore a cafeteria Christianity. Oh, I think I'll take a little bit of this, and hey, a little bit of this is tasty. I think I'll put some of this on my plate as well. And it's sort of a picking and a choosing rather than saying, I believe this is the very source of truth about reality. Here's what this passage says. The truth is in Jesus. If you and I are to understand reality, if we are to have any conception, any understanding about what is going on all around us, then we have to understand Jesus Christ. You begin to see then, if you begin with that seed statement, that the truth is in Jesus, therefore, you had better find out everything you can about Jesus in order to understand the truth. If the truth is in Christ Jesus, then we had better be in Christ. Now, what that does for us is it creates what I like to call the need to know. If you begin thinking that way, then you say to yourself, wow, if that's true, then I had better find out everything I possibly can about Jesus Christ. That's why you have the first two phrases in verse 21. Look at it. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. Have you heard Jesus Christ? Have you really listened to the Lord? You know how this works. Husband's reading the newspaper, wife is talking to him. What does he say? Was he really listening? And then she makes some shocking statement and he, you know, what was the problem? He wasn't really listening. So you and I this evening could say, yeah, I know about this. Yeah, I'm very familiar with what you're talking. No, here's the real question. Have you heard him in such a way that his words have just rocked you to your core, that they have gripped you? In the words of Isaiah 66, that you tremble at his words, that his words are so important to you and so significant to you that they have just shaken you. That's how you'll know that you really heard him. Have you heard? Have you listened to the Lord? Have you been won over by the Word of God? That's what he's saying there in that first phrase when he says, if so be that ye have heard him. I warn our students at Heritage Christian School. I warn our students about this all the time, folks. I warn them all the time. I remember what it was like to be in a school like Heritage Christian School. I know what happened to many of my classmates. And they sat there in chapel after chapel and in class after class, and they heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. And I have said over and over in chapel, you watch, you look out 5 years, you look out 10 years, and some of you in this room are going to be shocked by the behavior of others in this room. I've had students come back to me and say, that's absolutely true. Right. So what was the problem? I mean, come on now. What was the real problem? Here it is. Have you really heard him? Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ said this to his apostles, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Has that occurred? When he says that in verse 21, he says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. It's one thing to hear him. It's quite another to continually listen to him, to have a sensitive, a tender, a teachable heart where you humble yourself before the Lord. And so here's the question. Have you been taught by him? Can you say this evening, yes, I love to learn from the Lord. You would say this evening, I am a student of the Scriptures. I may not be the kind of student I wish I were, but I really do enjoy biblical teaching. I really like to listen to Scripture, and I really get it. It's not just itching ears. It's not just, oh, I hope you're an entertaining speaker tonight. No, what I really want is the Word. One of the greatest joys I have. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you something as a congregation that this really motivates me. When I say, look at this verse, and I watch heads all over the auditorium go just like this. Boom, you're right there on it. You're looking right down at it. I can spot guests and visitors. When I say, look at this scripture, and every head goes down, but other people are going like, wow, what happened? Oh, they're looking at their Bibles. Yeah, hey, what a great thing to do. Have you said to yourself, I really want to get what the scripture says? Okay, if you will begin there, with, number one, the understanding that theologically and in all of reality, the truth is in Jesus. If you want real truth, you got to go to Jesus. It's in Jesus Christ. And because of that, you have heard him and you have been taught by him. Then, dear friend, I'd like to congratulate you this evening. You have the opportunity to demonstrate real change to people all around you. And there are three steps to permanent change in this passage. Look, first of all, in verse 22. He says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. When he says in verse 22, that you put off, he is talking about using a severity with yourself. In other words, that you discipline yourself. Have you ever talked to somebody about something they need to change? You say, you know, you really need to change something. And they've said this to you, well, I'll pray about it. Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? I'll pray about it. Can I remind you that in most cases, when somebody says, I will pray, what they really mean is, I will delay. You say, Pastor, come on now. You emphasize to us the importance of prayer. I mean, we ought to pray, should we not? You know that. You know that we talk constantly about praying. But it's possible to use the expression, I will pray about it, to mean I am planning to delay any consideration of it. Isn't it interesting that as you look at three steps to personal change in this passage, that the Bible does not say, pray about it? Isn't that interesting? If so be that the truth is in Jesus and you have heard him as the truth is in Jesus, if that is true, then does it say, pray about it? No, here's what it says. It says, put it off. Put it off. Let me say this in several short statements to see if we can get this across. Stop it. End it. Quit it. Cancel it. Fight it. Win a victory over it. Restrain it. Resist it. Mortify it. Biblical word meaning put it to death. Cut it out. Lay it aside. Make a clean break. You and I need to remember something. Scripture is given to us in terms of victory. You and I could very easily deceive and delude ourselves to believe, I can't. I know I should, but I can't. We were talking about this tonight. When we got those dietary restrictions and it said less than a teaspoon of salt, I thought, I am dead. Salty crackers, salty chips, I mean, that's the spice of life. I mean, I almost caught myself saying when I first read it, I have to have those. And I thought, no, I don't. I don't have to have those. If that is bad for me, then I ought to cut it out. And for 48 whole hours, I have. You say, what is it then that we need to cut out of our lives? You got to figure this out. I illustrated this for somebody in the last couple days. I grew up constantly reading science fiction. I'm telling you, if there's anything you want to know about science fiction, ask me. We can sit down and talk it over because I've read way too many science fiction books. And series, science fiction series, you ask me and I can tell you what they're based on because I was just so wrapped up in it that I had to make a decision several years ago. I'm gonna put aside. There was a couple of series on that I said no more. And by God's grace, for 10 years I have not watched that series. You say that's not a big deal to me, right? It's not a big deal to you. This is what Jim Berg was talking about in his book Changed Into His Image, that we have these designer lust. You say that's not a big deal to me. It is to me, and by God's amazing grace, I have been able to say no more. This is the kind of discipline, severity that the Bible is speaking of. In our very comfort-oriented society, this is very uncommon. You and I can demonstrate uncommon change in a very common society by exercising new discipline and being severe with ourselves, disciplining ourselves. So, question tonight, what is it you need to put off? What is it that you really need to stop? Pick out what it is. Ask yourself tonight, okay, what is it that really needs to end in my life? This is poisoning me. It is hurting me. It is not helping me. It hurts my testimony with others. And let me go through the list again. Stop it. End it. Quit it. Cancel it. Fight it. Win a victory over it. Restrain it. Resist it. Mortify it. Cut it out. Lay it aside. Make a clean break. That's what this passage is saying. Those things which are in our lives, which are, in the words of verse 22, corrupted according to the deceitful lust. Careful. What that passage is saying is, these will fool you. They will deceive you. You can deceive yourself. You can play an April Fool's joke on yourself. You can enter into your own fantasy world if you live by your feelings. What the Bible is saying here is, it's not time to pray about it, folks. It's time to cut it out. End it. Bring it to a clean breaking end. That's the first step to permanent change. Second step to permanent change is in verse 23, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Look what it says. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what's interesting about this phrase that it's using here is, there is a sense in which this is passive. Every true born-again Christian has heard the Lord and has been taught by him. That's what it's saying in verse 21. Go back and look at verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. It is saying in that passage that every born-again child of God has this tender heart of teachability. He really wants to know, and he really does know, and he really is taught by the Word of God, with the result that his thinking is renewed. You know what our problem is? Is that we really don't think rightly about a lot of things. And you have to, the common expression today is, you have to learn to think outside the box. Okay, let's pick this. You know, In every regional area, people pick on various people groups. You know, there are people who tell all sorts of nationality jokes. And so I have heard a great way to do this is, there are no more Hittites, so let's just tell Hittite jokes. Have you heard this before? There are no more Hittites, so let's tell Hittite jokes. Okay, so I'm going to give you a Hittite puzzle here. There's a big Hittite and a little Hittite. Okay, the little Hittite is the big Hittite's son. But the big Hittite is not the little Hittite's father. Who is it? Who is it? Big Hittite, little Hittite. The little Hittite is the big Hittite's son, but the big Hittite is not the little Hittite's father. Who is it? How many of you know? Okay? Somebody tell me. Who is it? It's his mother. It's his mother. Now, some of you are sitting here saying, oh, I should have seen that. I should have seen that one coming. Okay, let me tell you what you did, and let me tell you what a puzzle does for you. It teaches you how to think differently. Here's what you began with. You began with an assumption that if it's a big Hittite, and that big Hittite has a son, then that must be a he, right? And that's what happened in that puzzle just now. You assumed big Hittite must be a man. Big Hittite, little Hittite must be a man. And that's where it got you. The assumption was wrong from the beginning. And this is the way it is in so much of our thinking. We have to learn to go back and challenge our assumptions. You say, wait, how do we do that? How do we challenge our assumptions? You have to begin with biblical assumptions. Do you remember back during our series on God is Able that I pointed out that one of the most basic assumptions that society makes is we're not able. We just can't do this. We can't change. But one of the Bible's most biblical assumptions is God is able. So what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to think outside of our normal thinking. And quite frankly, it is our line of thinking that brought us into this mess. And so what we have to learn how to do is take this wonderful mirror And isn't this a blessed mirror that we have here? This wonderful mirror of the Word of God, and go back and change our assumptions about life. Learn to think differently. And do you know that if we will begin with different assumptions, we will come to different conclusions? If we will begin with different assumptions, it will give us different attitudes, which will result in different actions. And that's what he's talking about here. You have to renew your mind. Aren't you sick and tired of coming back to the same old problem over and over and over again? Have you heard it said that a rut is a grave with the ends knocked out? I mean, that's really the way it is. And so what you and I have to learn how to do is put this second step of permanent change into practice. I've given this to you before. May I say it again? If I said to you right now, do not think about a black dog. Whatever you do, do not think about a black dog. Don't think about it. Don't think about a black dog. Don't be thinking about a black dog. What are you thinking about right now? Now, those of you in this room who've gone through this with me over and over again say, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing because I've already been through this experiment. But there's a whole bunch of you that were thinking, okay, Rottweilers, you know, Doberman Pinschers, black, you know, labs, you know, oh, yeah, black dog. Black. Okay, how do you stop thinking about the black dog? Answer, you start thinking about something else. You know, you think about a white cat. I mean, you think about something else. It's the very same way with so many of our problems. So many of our problems are problems in our thinking, folks. And if we would begin with different Bible, biblical assumptions, we would come out at a place of different conclusions. That's the second step to permanent change. There's a third one. Notice what it says in verse 24. And that ye put on the new man. Wait, question. Right, let's just stop that verse right. Who's the new man? Back to verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You see, what we have to learn how to do is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of the victory that he won over sin. It is the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. He won the victory over our sin. He died on that cruel cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He did so for our victory. And now, victorious people that we are, we have every privilege to put on the new man. How would Jesus eat? How would Jesus think? How would Jesus exercise his body? How would Jesus meditate? How would Jesus teach? How would Jesus help other people to change? You get it? Putting on the new man, putting him on as a replacement, putting on his conduct in the replacement of our old way of thinking. This is what it's talking about when he says, the truth that is in Jesus. You know, it really is a question of what would Jesus do? It's also a question of what would Jesus think? And what would Jesus say? It's a whole series of questions about Jesus Christ. That's the third step to permanent change, putting on. Now, what you and I have had laid out for us this evening from this passage is a wonderful highway. My family and I went through devotions, I think maybe it was this morning, we were looking in the Proverbs when it says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Tonight, you and I have heard more about the highway that departs from evil. We have learned that the truth is in Jesus, and if we are the kind of people who have heard him and have been taught by him, then you and I can demonstrate three steps to permanent change.